Amen. On behalf of Pastor Jones and myself, we'd like to congratulate our graduates, our class of 2015, on this amazing accomplishment. And I want to also tell you that while this is an amazing accomplishment, this is just one of many journeys that you're going to face. And trust the Lord, the same Lord that has brought you to this point is the same Lord that will continue to guide you as you continue on in life. So congratulations. We're praying for you and good luck to you. Amen. Amen. I would like to read again our text, again coming from Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. And it reads as follows. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. I would like to talk to you today, in particular to the graduates, of spiritual reminders for the journey ahead. Spiritual reminders for the journey ahead. Let us join together in prayer. Dear Lord in heaven, we thank you, Father, again for this time. And as the song we just heard says, holding on to you, knowing that all of our help does come from the Lord. Lord, we celebrate with these young people, and Lord, we know that they know this, Lord. But Lord, there will be times that they will face tough times and tribulations of various kinds, that they need to be reminded of that, just as we do, Lord. And we pray that you will remind them truly that you are there when we do look to those hills for the help that we need. Lord, you are a very present help in the time of trouble, Lord. Lord, you are also a comforter when things are right, Lord. And we pray that we'll continue to hold on to you, Lord, as we do this. And we pray that the words from this message will do just that, Lord, will encourage us to do just that as we continue to pray and look forward to the journey ahead for these young people. Thank you again, Lord, for this opportunity. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. June 12th, 1994, July 31st, 1999, May 18th, 2007. These are 3 days that will forever serve as foundations for my entire life because these were the days that I graduated from high school, college, and seminary, respectively. And while these days brought me a lot of joy and celebration, possibly, much like you, they also were filled with a lot of fear. Fear from the standpoint of I was losing what was familiar in my life at the time. I had spent 4 years in both high school and college and 5 in seminary. And during these years, I had made many close friends, had set my daily routines when it came to going to work, going to class, studying, as well as recreational activities. In fact, I was in such a routine that even my weekends were structured in a way that harmonized with what happened during the week. Now, graduating not only brought major changes to these things, but it also provided no smooth transition to where I was going, due in large part to the fact that I didn't know where I was going. So while I was holding that high school diploma, while I was holding that Bachelor of Science degree, while I was holding that Master in Divinity with tears in my eyes of excitement, those tears were also saying, now what do I do? Where do I go from here? However, now looking back, what I didn't know, in particular during my time of graduating from high school and college, is that I had another problem over my head. A problem that was much bigger than what was going on, what I was going to major in, rather, or where I was going to work, or what relationships I would develop in the following years. And that problem centered around the fact that I did not know Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I mean, sure, I went to church and I even was active in some ministries. However, when it came to understanding that I was a sinner in need of grace, when it came to trusting in Christ as being my sin bearer and my righteousness, I was totally void. Therefore, I was going into these new areas in my life without any spiritual security. But for most of you here, unlike me, you do have this security. Due in large part because of your constant fellowship and the instruction which you have received either here at Glendale or at New Beginnings. And it's along these lines that I would like to take a few moments and give what the title says some practical reminders, three in particular, that I hope will help you grow in the faith which you now possess as you embark on this new journey in your life. The first reminder that I want to give you is this: stay firm in the truth that you have been taught. Stay firm in the truth that you have been taught. The writer of Hebrews says this in the first part of verse 23. He said, "Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope." Now, the word hope here literally means confident expectation. So this word is not being used in the manner that we would use it today, namely in having a desire for something to happen. But it basically means to expect something in light of what has already occurred. In addition, the confession, which the writer is talking about here, is seen in the previous 22 verses, namely that Christ is sufficient alone for our salvation. Therefore, the verse could be understood like this: hold firm to the fact that Christ is sufficient alone for your salvation, and have the confident expectation that comes from this truth, namely that you will receive heaven in eternal fellowship with God the Father. Now, beloved, in saying this, here's where I'm going. In this new journey, you will experience a lot of things. You'll make new friends, you'll learn new ideas, and you will definitely be exposed to new ways of thinking. However, here's something that should stay as a rock in your mind and heart: that Jesus is your sufficient Savior, and through him and him alone, you will receive heaven and eternal fellowship with God the Father. That's a truth that should not change no matter what experiences you face from now on in your life. In fact, listen to the writer of Hebrews again. He says, hold fast the confession of our hope. In other words, grab a hold to the sufficiency of Christ. Never let that go. Now, this begs the obvious question: how do we do this? Well, in keeping with the idea of practicality in this message, let me give you two brief ways that this can be done. Two brief ways. Number one, by nurturing what you believe. Nurturing what you believe. In short, beloved, we must understand that the message that Christ is totally sufficient in all things, and through him and him alone we will inherit heaven and have eternal fellowship with God, we need to understand that that is not a natural message for us to believe. But rather, it's one we have to hear constantly and be exposed to on a consistent basis. Therefore, it behooves us to be in positions where this takes place. Thus, we must make things like the reading, the studying, the meditation of God's word a top priority in our lives. We must make attending Bible study and Sunday worship a must during the week. And equally, for those of you who might be going away to college, or maybe taking a job somewhere else in the country, there's an added importance to make sure that the new place that you choose to worship in that new town is dedicated to the preaching and teaching of the truths that you have been taught here. And as a footnote, if you need to know what churches in your area actually do this, please don't hesitate to call the office. I can give you my cell number. You can call me, and we will find a church in that area that does just that for you. But in a nutshell, beloved, you must go into this new journey holding on to the words of Jesus when he said that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So just as you would take time to eat physical food to nourish your body, you must also take time to eat spiritual food, namely the fruit of the gospel, for the nourishment of your soul. Secondly, here's a second way that you can hold fast to your confession: by developing relationships that will aid you in your spiritual growth. Developing relationships that will aid you in your spiritual growth. In essence, find like-minded brothers and sisters that will keep you accountable and can be used to strengthen you in the confession that you hold to. Now, in saying this, here's what I'm not saying. Namely, that you should shun and block all non-Christians out of your life, because not only is this impossible, it's also unbiblical. The Bible tells us in various places that we should develop relationships with unbelievers and also show them the love of Christ as we do our brothers and sisters. But at the same time, we should yearn fellowship with those who share our faith, because it's in this fellowship where we experience the grace of God in its highest levels. You know, my best friend, who currently lives in Harlem and works as an artist and as an adjunct professor at John Jay University, is a guy that I've known for over 25 years. We were best men in each other's weddings. We talk at least once every week on the phone. And even though because of our schedules, we only get to see each other maybe once or twice a year, when we do get together, it's as if we were in high school again. You know, we hang out at the mall, hang out at the beach, hang out at a movie, and just have fun. In fact, the only thing that we don't do that we did back then is that we don't try to hit on girls, because if we did that, our wives would kill us. However, while I have a load of fun with him, love the brother to death, and would do anything for him as well as his wife, we have a very important disconnect. Namely, he's an unbeliever. Now, obviously, I presented and will continue to present the gospel to him, and I've done that on various occasions, but at this moment, the Lord has not opened his heart, rather, to receive Christ. And because this is so, this is why I also cherish just as much the close relationships that I have with several godly people in my life. For example, like many members here at Glendale, and also in particular our ministry brethren, Brother Ferguson, Brother Bozum, Pastor Jones, as well as having connections with two other ministry brothers up in West Palm Beach that I've grown close to over the past few years. Because it's through them that God often sharpens, encourages, convicts, heals, and blesses me in his loving grace. So, beloved, seek for like-minded brothers and sisters in Christ. Seek for those godly people who will aid you as you grow in the confession that you have embraced. Beloved, the writer of Hebrews tells us two verses later from our text in verse 25, not to forsake the assembling or fellowship of the saints. Therefore, we must understand that God has ordained Christian fellowship as a vital part of our development in Christ. So, beloved, to willingly neglect Christian fellowship is to reject a portion of the nourishment which he has given us that helps us grow in the confession that we hold fast to. Now, these two subpoints come into sharper focus and importance when we now examine our second of our three reminders, namely that we must know that our confession will be attacked. Our confession will be attacked. Look again at verse 23, first part, if you have your Bibles. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering. Now, this word wavering carries the idea of inclining. So again, the idea is that our confession should be steady. It should be solid within our hearts. In short, it shouldn't be shaky. Now, here's the truth of the matter. At this point in time, as well as in the journey ahead, realize these truths. Satan does not care how much about you getting an associate, bachelor's, master's, or doctorate degree. He doesn't care about that. He doesn't care so much about you getting a promotion on your new job. He doesn't even care if this job provides you with a six-figure salary. Beloved, what Satan cares about more than anything is your faith. And he's not above using anything he can to shake it. For example, he might influence you to think that you need another degree to, quote, be somebody. He might influence you to think that somehow you're incomplete if you don't get that top position on your job. And he might influence you to think that your needs won't be met unless you get that exact salary that you desire. And suddenly, as you study harder, as you commit to working longer hours, and as you slave to meet that financial goal you set for yourself, unbeknownst to you is the fact that you're doing all of these things under the false premise of, if I don't get them, I'm somehow lacking. However, beloved, your confession says Christ is sufficient for you. Therefore, you must understand that the lack of achieving earthly goals is not a reflection of your spiritual status. There will always be promotions to receive. There will always be degrees to earn. There will always be financial blessings to go after. But, beloved, here is something that you need to understand in the midst of that, that there is no higher knowledge than Jesus Christ. There is no promotion beyond being a child of God. And there is no greater riches than what we receive in him. Now, beloved, in saying all this, let me be very clear about something. In no way am I trying to discourage you to not go after any achievements. If it's your heart content, go after a greater education. Go after the goal of being best at your job. Go after the goal of being financially stable. Try to be excellent in everything you do, because God commands us to do so. However, what I am saying again is don't do these things with the idea that if you don't achieve them, you are insufficient. But rather go after them knowing that all your sufficiency is found in the one in whom you confess. And even if you fail to acquire these goals, you are still complete because of the confession you hold to. Beloved, understand that your confession is going to be attacked. And the attacks are going to come in ways that seem subtle and seem harmless. However, if you stay nourished by consistent worship and develop healthy spiritual relationships with like-minded believers, you may not be able to stop from being attacked, but you will be able to better recognize and stand stronger in the attacks you face. And all this now leads us to the final spiritual reminder that I would like to give you today. Namely, that you should never forget that the God you serve is one who is faithful. You should never forget that the God you serve is one who is faithful. Again, verse 23 reads in its entirety, "Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful." Now, in reading the latter part of this verse, we're confronted with another question. What is he, that is God, faithful to? Well, beloved, again, he is faithful to his promise that all who are in his Son will not only find sufficiency, but will obtain the eternal life that comes through Jesus Christ. In short, God does not go back on his word, beloved. He can be trusted. And thus, this serves as the motivation for us to hold fast to the confession of our hope, because it's through this truth that we learn that we can truly depend on him. And given the fact that we live in a world, beloved, that has a reputation of being untrustworthy, this serves as a great comfort. You see, beloved, one of the things that you're going to find out early on the journey you're about to embark on is that in many ways, it's really no different than the one you just completed. It will have its times of joy. It will have its times of excitement. But also, it will come with its share of disappointment, heartaches, and hurts. And in some of these disappointments, heartaches, and hurts, the pain that will be unleashed from them will cut you so deep that you may actually ask the question of yourself, does God really care for me as much as I have been told? However, beloved, when you get to this point, here is the one thing you need to keep in mind. Just as your earthly achievements does not affect your sufficiency and completeness in Christ, your seasons of disappointment, heartache, and hurt does not define the feelings that God truly has for you. In fact, beloved, when you are faced in these seasons and you need a reminder of exactly how God feels for you, here's the one thing you can do. Go back to his word. Go back to his word. For example, go back to John 3:16 and see again that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Go back to passages like Romans 5:8 and see again that God demonstrated his own love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Go back to 1 John 4:10 and see again that this is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. And even go back to our theme passage for this program or for this baccalaureate service and see again that God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, he made us alive together with Christ and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Beloved, go back to these passages and others like them, because all of them contain God's true feelings for you and the blessings that await you because of this. And you can trust in these words because, again, beloved, the God in which you serve is a faithful God. He can be trusted. So if he says he loves you, believe it. If he says Christ has paid all your sins on Calvary's cross, believe it. If he says that he has made you alive together with Christ, believe it. If he says he has given you eternal life, believe it. And if he says that he has seated you in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, beloved, believe it. So in conclusion, here are some spiritual reminders for you to keep in mind on your journey ahead. And like I mentioned several moments ago, this new journey is going to be very much like the one that you just finished. You will have your times of joy, your times of excitement, and your times of honor. But also you're going to have those times of hurt, heartache, and disappointment. However, beloved, whatever the season you face in your journey ahead, keep in mind this one truth above all the other things that we've said. You are a child of the Almighty and Living God. And because of this, there is a greater graduation awaiting you. A graduation from this life and to an eternal one that once again will provide glory to you as you fellowship and worship him in his heavenly kingdom while being in union with the one you confess. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for these graduates, Lord. And Lord, we thank you for how you have brought them through, Lord. Lord, as a song that I heard once said, nobody told us that the road would be easy. But Lord, this is proof that you have not brought them this far to leave them. Encourage them, Lord. Bless them. Thank you for their families, Lord, who you have used as vessels to do just that. Thank you for the church family, Lord, who has done that. Thank you for their friends, Lord, who have encouraged them and have also given them a kick in the butt when they need it, Lord. Thank you for these vessels that you have done, that you have used, Lord, because truly you have shown honor to yourself. You have shown honor to us, Lord, or to them by doing these things. So, Lord, the road may be scary for them right now. Some may be wondering what's going to happen in a few months. What's going to happen when I move away? What's going to happen when I go to this school and learn new things? But, Lord, let their trust be in you. The same way that their trust was in you when they graduated in elementary school. The same way when they graduated in middle school. The same way when they graduated now in high school. And for some others, when they graduated from college. Lord, your hand was with them in whatever phase they went through. So, Lord, encourage them. Bless them. Strengthen them. Have them hold fast to the confession of their hope. The hope that Christ is sufficient. Because as your word told us today, you are faithful. And if you are faithful, Lord, everything else can be a lie. Everything else can be disappointing. But Lord, if they hold on to you, they will never face heartache. Heartache knowing that you are not there with them, Lord. So Lord, even in their difficult seasons, Lord, encourage them. Even in their seasons of joy, encourage them. Let them know you are our ever-present help and an ever-present guide in their lives. Thank you, Father, for this privilege and this opportunity that you have given them. And we ask your blessings upon them. In Jesus' name, amen.